Good morning, everyone. In my last chapel, I introduced you to the prophet Hosea and the life that the Lord led him to live to show what a terrible spouse the children of Israel had been to the Lord. Today, I would like you to introduce you to myself, except 10 years younger, when I was about your age. I was out deer hunting on a special summer hunt with my brother and father, and the Lord blessed us with success. We got two deer. Well, it was my brother's and my job to drag one of these deer back to the car. It was hot. The sun was beating down on our brows. We had to drag this deer for over a mile. And not only that, we had to drag it across a plowed field. Drag the deer up 2 feet, down 2 feet. Up 2 feet, down 2 feet. Up 2 feet, repeat. It was hard. It took forever. By the time we made it back to the car, night had fallen. I think I lost 10 pounds of water weight in that drag, and all I could look forward to when we got back to the car was having a nice, cool drink of water. But alas, there was no water in the car. Desperately, we searched under the seats, hoping that a water bottle had rolled under there a long time ago and it had been forgotten. But there was no water. Except, there, gleaming in the moonlight, in the field across from us, was an entire lake of water, about a foot or two deep, in the field. My brother and I rejoiced as we started walking over there, thinking that finally we could quench our thirst. But even there was no water for us to drink. You see, this lake had thousands of geese in it and around it. And as we got closer and closer, you couldn't take a step without standing on goose droppings. So there was no water for us to drink. Well, the psalmist in our text this morning had a thirst as extreme as ours was that evening, but not for water, rather for something much more important. Hear Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. On that day in the field, my body was showing clear signs of thirst. I had a dry mouth, parched lips. I was even starting to get a little lightheaded. It was pretty obvious that I was thirsty. Well, the psalmist was getting thirsty for the dwelling place of God, and there are pretty obvious signs of that as well. You don't have a dry mouth or parched lips, but you may be feeling down and out. You may be unsure about a decision in your future. You could be feeling guilty, or you may be looking for direction in your life. You may be frustrated, you may be lost, you may be trying. All of these are signs that you are fainting for the dwelling place of the Lord. All of these are signs that you need what only He can give you. The Lord has answers for your questions, a direction for your life, a path for your feet, and much more. All too often, though, when we have these signs of thirsting for the dwelling place of the Lord, we mistake them for the opposite. Instead of God being our first option, we look for advice, comfort, or you name it, from worldly men and women, women who are wise in the ways of the world. And they may have good advice about all kinds of things, but if they're following worldly wisdom, they'll always be lacking that one good thing. When we trust the advice of worldly thinkers over God's advice, we are drinking that water from the goose-filled lake. At first glance, it looks like a miracle, but upon closer investigation, it proves to be diseased and infectious. And though we wouldn't want to admit it, we've all drank from worldly wisdom's diseased water before, entrusting that one more lie is going to get us out of this situation, or that breaking this rule isn't all that bad because it's not going to hurt anyone. At these times, when we're infected with the disease and ongoing consequences of sin, we need the pure water that is found in God's presence. God has advice, direction, and comfort for us. But more than all of that, He has forgiveness for us. He has us drink the purifying water of his forgiveness, which makes us clean in God's eyes. This water of forgiveness from Christ rejuvenates our new man and carries us on toward heaven. As the Lord himself said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Oh, that we never would be thirsty again, that we would always have Jesus' promises on the forefront of our mind. Oh, that we would never walk away from this life-giving source of forgiveness. But far too often, we find ourselves not drinking the water of Christ, but rather the infected water of sin. When those times come in your lives, notice the signs of thirst that you have for the living water of Christ. Pay attention to your life and the signs that God gives you as you stray away from him. Feel the thirst for the forgiveness of the gospel that God has given you, and find that thirst quenched by the blood of the Lamb on the cross at Calvary, which is proclaimed to you here, right now, every chapel and every church service. And when you find these places where the forgiveness of God is proclaimed to you, rejoice in the Lord and sing his glorious praise. Rejoice in the Lord when you find the places that proclaim to you the forgiveness that will quench your thirst. Amen. We sing hymn 480, verse 1.